Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll begin our study of Quran chapter 17, and we will do our best to cover verse 1. Verse 1 is a very important verse for Muslims, by which they claim they have the right to have the Aqsa Mosque, which is the third holy sacred place for the Muslims after Mecca and Medina, which exist in Jerusalem. Why is that? Because of the following verse. And that is when Allah said, "Praise be to him who took his servant by night from the forbidden mosque to the farthest mosque, whom we have blessed that which surrounds him, that we might show him some of our signs. Surely he is the hearing, the seeing." Now, when you read that verse, you will not understand anything at all, because there is not any details about who is doing what or where or when. There is no information. All what we have is somebody was taken from one mosque to another mosque, and he was blessed, and Allah showed him his signs, and Allah is the hearing, the seeing. We do not know any information about what Allah is talking about in that one verse. Now, you may think that if we read the scholars' interpretation, as Muslims claim, you will come up to a true understanding and an easy comprehension to that subject. The subject of the greatest miracle which Muhammad was involved in person. That is, when you read some of the nonsensical material which are written by so-called Muslim scholars. Now, I can give you the answer in simple words, that somehow Muhammad was in one of three different locations, and somehow Jibreel wake him up from his sleep, as the story is told in so many different ways, which itself will tell you that we're reading a fairy tale. It's a myth. Imagine with me, you go to a court of law to present a case, and you tell the judge, "I have the witnesses here, and the three or four or whatever number of witnesses, each one of them have different information contradicting each other. What is the chance for that lawyer to win the case?" Obviously, the case will be thrown out of the court, and that is the problem we have with Quran chapter 17, verse 1. Scholars disagree. They disagree about where Muhammad was before he was taken to the farthest mosque. All right. Was he sleeping with his wife Ummu Hani, or was he by the Kaaba, or was he by another location is called Al-Hajr? As you read Muslim scholars' interpretations, they will tell you Muhammad was sleeping in the house of Ummu Hani after he prayed the last prayer, the prayer of Isha, that he was taken by night from that house to the furthest mosque. But you can read other Muslim scholars who give you, by the way, the names of those who assure us that what they're saying is true. In another place is called Al-Hajr, and he was taken from there all the way to the furthest mosque. Or he was actually taken from the Kaaba to the same mosque in Jerusalem. But we have a problem. What is the problem? Because the mosque in Jerusalem was not built in such time. As a matter of fact, you can go on Wikipedia, written by Muslims, and they will give you the entire history about that mosque. Now, you have to understand, this happened while Muhammad was still living in Mecca. That is, literally, in the first 13 years when he claimed to be a prophet. Here is what is written in Wikipedia. Muslims tell us that Khalifa Umar ibn Khattab, that is the second successor after Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, after the death of Muhammad, he gave the order to build that masallah, which is a small place for people to pray. And that took place 636 after Christ. So that took place roughly 3 years after Muhammad died. Now, we know from the history of that mosque that it was actually built a little bit bigger. And by the way, that's what Muslims always do. If they are going to build a mosque someplace, they build a small and they make it bigger and bigger and bigger, and they will never lose that site. Think about the next mosque will be built in your neighborhood. Khalifa al-Amawi Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan, or scholar disagree, maybe his son, which is Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, or maybe both of them. I love it. When Muslims are not in agreement about anything about their history. Anyway, they actually built a bigger mosque around 705 to 746 after Christ. But then we have an earthquake, and it was rebuilt again during Khalifa al-Abbasi Abu Ja'far al-Mansur around 754 after Christ, and it was rebuilt again 718, and it was destroyed with another earthquake in 1033. And then we have the mosque which we have today. Everybody can see online, or you can go to Jerusalem and see it yourself. But here's a question. Muhammad in his miracle was taken by night from some place, one of different three places in Mecca, all the way to Jerusalem to be in this other mosque which did not exist. Well, some will say, wait a minute, he actually went to the Temple of Solomon, and that's why, as a matter of fact, you read in the interpretation of Al-Tabri, Muhammad described to the Muslim believers the Solomon Temple at the time, because what happened when Muhammad told his people, those who believed in him, about that great miracle, how Allah took him by night, in a blink of an eye, from first place in Mecca all the way to Jerusalem, many of the Muslim believers left Islam. So Muhammad was trying to show them, no, it's true, it happened. And he described to them Solomon's temple. From here we know, not only Muslims do not know the history of the Aqsa Mosque, they do not even know that the Solomon temple was destroyed 70 AD. That's about 500 years before Muhammad was a gleam in his father's eye. Which means, either way, that mosque in Jerusalem does not exist. Neither Solomon's temple, because it was destroyed, nor the mosque which was ordered to be built by Omar and those who came after him. And here is the story. Before Muhammad was taken by night from Mecca to Jerusalem, Jibreel opened Muhammad's chest. In one story, or Jibreel and Mikhail worked together, these are two angels, to clean Muhammad's heart. Jibreel physically opened Muhammad's chest in a big basin. Angel Jibreel asked Angel Mikhail to bring him a basin of water from Zamzam. That is the water which Hagar, as Muslims claim, found when she was lost in Mecca. Anyway, after Angel Jibreel opened Muhammad's chest and he washed him in one story one time, in another story three times, and only Allah knows how many times, he actually filled his heart with wisdom, knowledge, faith, certainty, and Islam. Then he sealed between his shoulder with the seal of the prophethood. I do not know what is the seal is, but Muslim scholars said it was some skin tag just happened between his shoulders. And that is, by the way, to the Muslim, the sign, the proof, the evidence that Muhammad is a prophet, because all prophets have such a seal. What a comedy. Then we know that Jibreel brought Muhammad with a horse, a white horse. And Muslim scholars will tell us it was the horse which Abraham used to ride on his trips to Mecca. Or, in another story, as scholars disagree, it was actually some animal between a donkey and a mule, and it has two wings. Use your imagination. Imagine you're watching some cartoon. And that's how Muhammad was able to travel all the way from the first three locations, which we do not know which one, to go to the mosque which was not built, or to the place where Solomon's temple used to be and it was destroyed. But somehow, in either way, Muhammad was able to ride on that creature, and he actually tied him in one of the pillars of that holy site. If it was the mosque of Omar, which was not built yet, or if it was the temple of Solomon, which was already destroyed for hundreds of years. Now, the story also keep going with disagreement about what really happened there. Because on the way between Mecca and Jerusalem, we read that Muhammad met with many people, and Muhammad was supposed to greet them, but he was not allowed to greet them. And then Angel Jibreel explained to him, well, I'm glad he didn't do that, because these were not but Satan and The first one was an old person. Have you greeted that person? You may die young, or just made up stuff. No point whatsoever. When Muhammad arrived to Jerusalem, he was offered three cups. One of water, one of milk, and one of wine. So Muhammad chose the glass of milk. And Angel Jibril told him, you have chose the right thing. Why? Because he said, if you have drank the water, you and your people would have drowned. And if you drink the wine, you and your people would have been seduced. But Muhammad chose the right cup to drink. In Jerusalem, Muhammad met with all the prophets. And scholars also disagree about who was there and who was not there. But somehow, Muhammad prayed the Muslim prayer with all the early prophets in the Aqsa Mosque. And he was the imam. He was the leader who stood in the front, and all the prophets were behind him.
The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is excited to announce our creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstand Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. But is this true? This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arise from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. Please visit thestraightway.org for ordering information. And now, back to our show.
Now let us listen to the rest of the made-up story. That is, when we learn from Muslim scholars that actually Muhammad ride on the supersonic creature, and he went all the way straight up to the seven heavens. Now, we know from the Bible that there's only three heavens. So somehow, Muhammad was able to go to four more heavens which do not exist. When Angel Jibril knocked at the door of the first heaven, the sound came from inside. Who is there? Jibril answered, it is Angel Jibril. The question was asked, anybody else with you? He said, yes, Prophet Muhammad. Then they said, oh, he was already asked to come up. And they were so glad to see Muhammad. Then Muhammad saw Father Adam. After Jibril told him that this is Father Adam, and he greeted him, and Adam said, welcome, great son, the faithful one, blah, 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 bunch of other nonsense words. Muhammad kept moving with Angel Jibril from the first heaven to the second heaven, to the third, to the fourth, to the fifth, to the sixth, to the seventh, and every time the same scenario is repeated, as he met with different prophets in different heavens, and scholars disagree. You may read in one interpretation that he met with Moses in the fourth heaven, or in the sixth heaven, or in the seventh heavens, or you never know. When you have all this disagreement about the interpretation of that verse, which 100% is not interpretation. I read the verse and I'll read it again. Anybody can go and read it. It does not say Muhammad traveled by night from Mecca to Jerusalem. It did not say Muhammad ascended from Jerusalem to the seven heavens. All this made up fairy tale interpretation. When Muhammad and Angel Jibril went all the way to the end of the seven heavens, there was a tree there. It's known to be the buckthorn tree. And that's where no one can pass, because after that, you're going to meet the great one, the mighty one, Allah himself. Jibril could not go with Muhammad after that point, but somehow Muhammad was able to go and meet with Allah. As he talked with Allah and they have a nice conversation, maybe a cup of coffee or whatever they drink there, maybe another glass of milk or maybe a glass of camel urine. I do not know what Muhammad drank in the seventh heaven with Allah. But anyway, on his way back to earth, riding on his supersonic creature, he met with Prophet Moses. So Moses asked Adam, what is going on? What did Allah say? He said, oh, we have great time. And Allah asked me to ask my people to pray 50 times a day. Moses said to Muhammad, 50 times a day? No one will believe in you. No one will follow you. I tried it with my people. He meant the Jewish people. And they did not do it. Go back to Allah and negotiate with Allah to make the number of prayers smaller. And once again, Muslim scholars will give you different stories. Sometimes they cut it 10 at the time. Sometimes 5 at the time. But it doesn't matter until the number came to 5. And that's when Moses told Muhammad, no, no, no. Go back to Allah. Ask him to make it less. He went back to Allah. Allah said, no, that's it. I cannot go in less than that. But here's the good news. Every one of these 5 prayers will be rewarded with 10 blessings. Which means, actually, when the Muslim pray 5 times a day, they receive the blessings of 50 prayers. And Moses asked Muhammad to go back to Allah and say, no, it's still too much. And Muhammad said, I'm shy to ask Allah to cut the number. And the fabrication of Muslim scholars go on and on and on. In the end, Moses said, okay, since you're going to be receiving 50 blessings for 5 prayers, that's fine. Muhammad came back to earth from the seventh heaven, riding on that supersonic creature. And he went back to his bed, and his bed was still warm, which means that miracle did not take place, but maybe within a few hours. And then he wake up in the morning and have the early Fajr prayer, the Muslim prayer in the morning. And that's when Muhammad told his people about that miracle. Sadly to Muhammad, many people did not believe in it. And some number of the Muslims left Islam because of it. But then people went to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and they asked him, what's going on with your friend Muhammad? Do you believe what he said? He said, what did he say? He said that he was taken last night from Mecca to Jerusalem and he was ascended to the seven heavens and he came back. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, if Muhammad said it, I believe him. And that's why Muhammad actually named Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, which means the believers, because he was so naive. He was so gullible. He believed whatever Muhammad said to him, including Muhammad asked Abu Bakr to give him his daughter, the 6-year-old child, as wife. And he could not argue with Muhammad after all. Allah told Muhammad to take Aisha as wife. And here we see the greatest child molester, the pedophile Muhammad, at his 50s, married to a 6-year-old child. So what is the story? The story is about a verse. The verse does not have a message. And Muslim scholar created multiple stories. You choose which one do you like. From which we know that Muslims have a holy site in Jerusalem. And they will fight to the last person. They will all die to gain that site back. When in reality, the verse does not say anything. Here is the verse once again. Praise be to him who took his servant by night from the forbidden mosque that is in Mecca to the furthest mosque, that is a place does not exist in Jerusalem, whom we have blessed that which surrounds him, that he might show him some of our signs. Surely he is the hearing, the seeing. By the way, like the rest of the stories of Muhammad in the Quran, this story is taken from other sources. This story of the ascension was taken from Persian books and their ancient myth, as it is mentioned in their books 400 years before the Hijrah, in a book called Arturaf Namik, which is Ma'raj. Add to that the negotiation between Muhammad and Allah concerning the 50 prayers to 5 prayers is actually the same biblical account we read about Abraham negotiating with God about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah if there was 50 righteous in the cities. If I go in detail, my dear friends, to share with you all what Muhammad said, you'll find it to be a chain of lies. Not only are these lies, but it is lies without any logic or common sense. If Muhammad was leading all the prophets in prayer at this mosque in Jerusalem, why when he went to the first heaven, he saw Adam and he did not know him? Why he see Moses again in the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th heavens? And so is with every other name of every prophet Muslim scholars inserted in their fabrication interpretation to the verse. How tall was Adam when Muhammad saw him? Oh, he was 60 cubits, that is 90 feet long. My friends, any person with logic or common sense would reject the story here on the spot. What was Adam doing in heaven? He was crying and laughing. Every time he looked at his right side, he laughed. And every time he looked at his left side, he cried. And Angel Jibreel explained to Muhammad the reason Adam laughed when he looked at his right hand. It's because that is where all the Muslim believers, he can see them in heaven. And he cried when he looked at his left hand because he sees the rest of the people who will not accept Islam. And they are burning in hell. We know from the scripture that in heaven, there's no tears. If that was Adam in heaven and Muhammad truly saw Adam in heaven, he would never have seen him cry. And my friends, trust me, if I will translate to you and record to you all that which is written by those who so-called Muslim scholars, that broadcast will go for weeks. But I just shared with you enough in this broadcast. What is the conclusion? The conclusion is very simple. Muhammad's not a prophet. Muhammad never traveled on his supersonic creature from Mecca to Jerusalem or from earth to the seven heavens. And it's all made up by so-called Muslim scholars. And that is the only reason why Muslims will fight to the last moment, to the last Muslim they have to take Jerusalem back, because it's a holy site, simply because they build their belief on a pure lie from the bottom of hell, which is simply fabrication, for a verse does not have any information whatsoever. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.